Blog Talk Radio.
To the Healing Light Show, and today we're going to actually be interviewing guest Tiffany Blackwell. How you doing, Tiffany?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Reverend Stan, for having me here on the show.
It's going to be a great day in the Lord, and we're so happy to have you here today. And I want to say hey to Shane. How you doing, Shane, from way down in Florida?
It's too hot down here. No, I'm just teasing. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on here and helping us out as always, Shane.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
Amen. But anyway, we're going to start interviewing Tiffany. And Tiffany, can you tell us a little bit about your testimony?
Okay. Well, believe it or not, I began praying in my prayer language in other tongues or whatever when I was a toddler. And then shortly thereafter, I'd had an experience where I drowned in a pool, and I just knew that I was separate from the Lord. I just knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what. I didn't really have much understanding. And then when I was a little bit older, I'd say I was four, I truly began to understand more, if you can say a four-year-old can understand. But at that point, I did know and I did verbalize that I wanted Jesus. And so that was the early start for me. And obviously, I didn't know a lot about God's love at that time. And he just began to woo me and woo me. And I think one of the things he continued to reach out to me to show his love to me was in the healing. The miraculous times and events in my life where he would show up. You know, I drowned in a pool, and yet he brought me back when I was 4 years old. I had been stung by a yellow jacket, and the doctors had said my eyes had changed and told my parents to tell me goodbye. And I remember just going, well, Lord, is there nothing that can be done? And immediately, as soon as I thought that thought in my head to the Lord, because that's a prayer, even though it was like a, you know, a tiny child prayer, immediately my eyes changed. And they always say, the doctors say, once your eyes change, there's no bringing you back. But God brought me back from the brink of death over and over and over again in my life. And I really believe that wooing, it was just him wooing me with his love. And at that time, obviously, even years later, I had no idea that this would be part of my testimony, him healing me of rheumatoid arthritis. You know, different times in my life, I had no clue that then later I would share that. I knew I might testify, like, to some close friends. I just had no clue to the magnitude of what God, you know, can use a testimony for.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. So, you had a supernatural experience when you was a young child.
Yes. Yes, I did.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And some of the things, I mean, here on the Healing Light Show, we interview a lot of people that moves into supernatural. And a lot of times what happens is once you have died and came back, you're changed. There's something that God has done to you that you can't forget. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I believe that. I know when he healed me of the rheumatoid arthritis, I was exceedingly different then. The doctor said that my DNA was changed.
Awesome. Awesome. Now with this arthritis, now tell us the testimony about that and what the Lord actually has done in your life with that.
Okay, wow. Well, for 20-plus years, I had the markers in my blood for the disease. They called it lupus antibodies, and they said at some point in life, they just kept speaking negatively over me, and they kept saying every year the genetic markers kept increasing in my blood, and they said at some point you're going to get this. It started out, I had a 1 in 20 chance of getting it, and this would have been probably 30-plus years ago. Well, then they said about 10 years after that, you know, they kept saying that I had a 1 in 4 chance of getting it. And finally they said, you have it. They redid the blood work and all, and they said that I had, they expected it to come back lupus. But when I went, right before I went for the blood work, I'd already begun praying. I said, God, this isn't what you promised me. He had promised me, I kept having a vision of rocking and raising up another child. And I said, well, this can't be. This cannot be. This isn't. Well, they did the blood work, and instead of it coming back lupus, because I had what they called the lupus rash on my face, all of that, it came back rheumatoid arthritis. And they said, wow, well, it's not quite as bad as lupus, but it's RA. And they said, this is the worst form we have ever seen in our lives. They said, you're going to be crippled sooner rather than later. They said, most people, it might be an average of, say, 3 years before you're in a wheelchair, but it's going to be way sooner than that. That's what they had said. Then they had said I was going to go into renal failure and die. They said I could go on 2 medications, and I might could live 4 to 7 years. They said maybe 10 if it goes dormant. But I remember now, he's since passed on, but my husband, they had looked at him, and they said, go ahead and buy the casket, get a burial plot bought, and go ahead and start preparing for that. And I remember looking at him, and I rose up, and I said, don't you dare. Don't you dare. And I told those doctors, I said, that is not what God has promised me. And I told them about me, you know, having another child, what God had promised me. And they said that that was crazy. They said, oh, my gosh, you're one of those. You have something very serious going on in your life, and you refuse to see the truth of the matter, everything that's going on. You're living in la-la land. We've seen this before. So they wrote me a script to go see either a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And obviously I didn't go.
Mm.
What I did was I went home with that diagnosis, and I got in the Word of God. And I had an open vision within 2 weeks. God showed me through that two-week process, because I kept reminding him I'd been sterile, and yet he made me fertile. I had been, you know, sterile was written on my gynecological chart, child after child after child. And finally, after child three, they took sterile off the chart. So I said, God, if you can heal me of that, then you can do this. What's wrong? Why has this happened? And he told me mine was due to unforgiveness. Once I forgave, my parents had done some things, and they weren't, you know, they were really bad things. But once he said, forgiveness is a choice. I always thought it was a feeling. And so every time the feeling came back of unforgiveness, then I was basically drugged back into unforgiveness, and I thought, I have not forgiven. So it was a lie that I had believed, and he finally came to me, and he said, Tiffany, forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. So every time the enemy comes and says you have not forgiven your mother and father, you tell him he's lying and that you have. And so I did that, and within 2 weeks, like I said, I was healed. I had an open vision, and a giant syringe came down out of the sky, stabbed down into my left leg. Right down, because that's the family side of the body when you have dreams and visions, and it stabbed down into my leg, into the bone, and he pulled back on this giant syringe, and black gunk, horrific black, jet black gunk went right up into this syringe, and it was an exceedingly painful experience, and he took it straight up into the heavenlies, and it disappeared. Well, I went back to the doctor, and I said, I'm not going on the meds. I said, God healed me. And they were just rolling their eyes again. And they told me to go see. And that I needed to accept the fact that I was going to be in that wheelchair and in a burial plot, and I needed to prepare for that. I refused. I ended up getting pregnant, went to the gynecologist's office. And so after that diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis, it was a year and a half later, they redid the blood work at the gynecology office. He said, they sent over your records because they knew you were going to get pregnant or do something like this again. And he said, do you realize by the time you're 3 or 4 months pregnant, you're going to go into renal failure and die? And I said, absolutely not. God healed me. He said, well, then you won't have a problem with me drawing blood. I said, no. Well, he did that. 3 days later, he called me. You could tell he had been crying. And he said, I cannot believe this. He said, God healed you. I said, yes, he did. He said, no, 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 you don't understand. I know miracles happen in third world countries, but not here in America. I said, yes, here in America. Yes, everywhere. God can heal anybody everywhere. And
amen.
So that was, you know, that's where my testimony started, and that's where I just continued to tell people of the goodness of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Normally, something like that happens to you, there's no going back. I mean,
amen.
You know, when God does, and when something like that extremely happens to you, there's no budging your faith at all. You know the truth beyond the truth, and nobody can budge a person from that. So, you know, that's awesome. Praise God. Praise God on that. Now, with your prophetic skills, now, when did you notice that God was giving you dreams and visions, and they was very accurate and so on? When did that start going on with you?
When I was a toddler, when I was 3 years old, 2 and 3 years old, my parents would actually write my dreams down. They would wake me up in the middle of the night. They were I wouldn't say they were Christians by any means. They were actually into other type religious, and they couldn't even understand what any of the dreams meant. And that really encouraged me later in life, because I began to realize, because so many people were like, oh, don't tell your dreams to people. They might try to understand them, and the enemy will learn things. This is what I've basically noticed from that. The enemy, he can't even understand the simple prophetic stuff. But that's when it would begin. again, I would say things to people as a child, not knowing. I would walk up to someone, and I would just say something to them. And I remember thinking, well, I don't know why I'm saying this, but God wants me to say that. Jesus wants me to tell them that. So I would say it. And then because I was around people who weren't safe, a lot of times I would get punched in the face or pushed down or yelled and screamed at. And that just kind of continued throughout life. And then as I began to be older, teaching and training other people, you know, in the Baptist church, they didn't call it that. It was, they just called it, oh, that's a spirit of wisdom. That's just a gift of wisdom and teaching and training or miracles. That's just what they said. And then once I began to get around more the Church of God or Pentecostal and charismatic people, they were like, honey, you know, this is prophetic. You're a prophet. And I was like, well, God told me that when I was a three-year-old little girl. He told me I was a prophet, but when I had told the people in the Baptist church, and I'm sure all Baptist churches aren't this way, but when I had told them, they had said that's not possible. And even if it, even if they were still alive, they'd be a man and you're a woman, so that can't be right.
Yeah.
I had to, a bit to overcome. But yeah, God got me on the
track. I mean,
he wanted me.
Amen. Yes, yeah, it's always a battle in some of the churches, and just trying to get the Spirit of God to move and for God to see, you know, people that, that have gifts, and really these gifts is for everybody, and it's just they just don't want to use them because they're scared that, you know, God will actually use them. And that could be scary to some people, but that's how the body of Christ is supposed to move. We're supposed to be all moving in something where God can use us and use us to build the kingdom for him. Amen. But, yeah, it's awesome. Now, when did you start your own personal ministry?
Okay. Let's see. About 4 years ago, I had – well, I've always been a leader or on staff in churches. Well, then I started more with a life group or a small group of women. And then some, they began to bring, you know, other people, their boyfriends or their husbands. It just began to become more family oriented. And then I can remember in a summer one year, I said, well, we're not going to meet during the summer. And they just began to cry and weep. And I was like, what on earth? And I was like, wow. And then God told me, he said, teach prophetic classes. And I said, okay. All right. And I said, you have to get a download, Lord. Well, I went to sleep, and he truly downloaded into me. And so I actually launched out in August of this past year and started my own prayer house, church, whatever you want to call it. It is church, but it's church done different, if that makes sense.
Amen. So you basically have evangelistic meetings every so often?
Yeah. Well, every
Amen.
Saturday.
Amen.
Saturday.
Every
evening.
Saturday. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, where do y'all have these meetings? Down in your hometown, or where do you have them?
Yes. Actually, at this time, it's in my home.
Okay.
And that's what we're doing, and you know, if it's large, you know, larger, sometimes we've had larger groups of people meeting, but, you know, until it explodes out, you know, where we feel like we're running out the windows, and then we'll have to find a building.
Amen. Amen. I mean, that's, even with my healing and deliverance ministry, we've had meetings here in my house, and it actually got to a point one time that one family came in, filled up my house. So we had to go to their house.
Praise
so
God.
Now we have our meeting at their basement, which is bigger than half of my house. So so it's the way that goes. But yeah, I understand that. I mean, you can't, the thing of it is people want to form these meetings. They want to bring people in from all over, but the secret is God has to build them. You can't. God has to build them.
Amen.
And so, some of the biggest ministries and some of the biggest churches started with four people in the living room. Every time. Started with maybe four people in the living room, and God built that from them four people to hundreds and thousands. So that's how I really believe an evangelistic organization, a church, all of them has to be built by God, not by the people, not by bringing food in for people to come and eat and preach, but for the power of God to bring them in. Because, as you know, if you have a lot, if you have the light, the moths will come. It will draw people to the light. The light always draws people to them. So if you have the real light of God, people will be drawn to it, and you'll start seeing people form and come into what you have to preach and what you have to teach, and that's just a normal thing. But what I see nowadays, people don't see that. There's a lot of people that is in organized religion, and they're just trying to build the masses and try to fill their pockets. So they use all these things that college is teaching them to try to bring people in. And a lot of times it's more of an entertainment venue and then a church, if you know what I mean. And then you see a lot of crazy things happening because they don't use God. They use all their salesman tactics. And that ain't how God works. And that's why you see a lot of powerless churches with a lot of people going to church, have drug problems. They have, they have slews of problems going in their life because they ain't really hearing the real word of God, and they don't have a Holy Spirit-filled pastor teaching them. So, you know, when God is in the situation, you know, you'll start seeing signs and miracles happen. That's just the way it is. Anywhere God is, that is what really happens, and it's very amazing what he does. But what we're going to do right quick, we're going to take a break. We're going to go right into a song, and we're going to come back and let Shane Stevens interview you a little bit, and we'll be right back.
There are no words, no phrase I could create. There is no melody that I could make. How do you sing about a love so deep without feeling like you missed something? I could try, but I could not explain.
Really?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Healing Light Show. We was just talking to Tiffany back in the background and just finding out more things about her, praise God. And this is going to be an awesome time in the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and let Shane go ahead and start with the interview. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to ask you a couple questions. I wanted to ask you if you could give us an example of a testimony that stands out in your mind that really made a huge difference in someone's life on how God moved and helped them. Is there anyone in particular that you want to share?
Yes. We've had this happen several times, actually a lot of times. Almost every single time people show up, people are healed in their bodies supernaturally. But there have been times where people, there was this one woman, she's a dear, sweet, just adorable lady. She came and she'd had cancer as a small child on her bladder. And she came and she said, I already know what this is. I've taken it to the Lord and the doctors, you know, we just know what this is. And she says, I don't even want to name it. And it was a knot the size of her fist, right where a woman's ovaries would be, but it was on the outside of her body. And she said, I need you to pray. And I said, okay. And so I put my hand over the lump that was on her belly off to the side. And as soon as I touched her, and we all, everyone in the meeting, I make everyone surround whoever it is we're praying for. Everyone surrounds the person, and we either hold our hands out or touch the person. And so I asked her if I could touch the spot, and she said yes. I put my hand on it, and it felt like a vacuum cleaner. If you've ever taken the hose off your vacuum cleaner with it still running and then put it to your hand or another object, that suction, it felt like suction. She was pulling the anointing of God out of me. And it reminded me in the Bible where Jesus said, who touched me? Because he felt the glory. He felt the draw when the woman touched the hem of his robe. And so when I put my hand on her belly, number one, the lump melted immediately. She began jumping and crying and leaping with joy. And everyone was totally amazed. And so there have been people who we've laid hands on. Stage 4 liver cancer has gone. There have been people who came in with horrible back issues they'd had for years. And I can remember we prayed for one lady. She went down on the ground. You know, she passed out in the spirit. And God said, touch her on her belly. And I said, okay. So I bent down, and I just went to touch her belly. As soon as I touched her belly, the power of God shot through her, but also shot through me. I was lifted up in the air, literally a couple of feet, and thrown onto the couch. And we had some millennials, some teenagers that were on the couch. I landed, passed out in the Holy Spirit, on someone's purse and across these teenagers.
Amen.
So she got up healed.
Wow.
And I woke up on the couch like, what on earth? And I just knew it was the power of God. So things like that regularly show up in these meetings that we have. It's the faith of the people who come, their desperation. They're desperate. Many of them are at their life. You know, they're at that moment, God, heal me, or I'm going to be seeing you very soon.
Amen.
Awesome. That is a really cool story. I like it. I've got another question, too. I was just thinking here. With someone like you that's been hearing the voice of God since you were very young, I wanted to ask, what is that like to you when you hear him or feel or know him when he speaks to you? How would you describe that?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's better than chocolate cream. It's better than your most favorite anything. It can't. There's nothing on earth that's pleasurable that can compare to it. He changed my name one day. And he came to me in a vision, and he looked like a particular male figure that I deeply respected. And he stood in front of my face, and it was like his face was almost touching mine. And it was so vivid. I knew it was a vision, but it seemed so real. And as he opened his mouth and spoke my name, and he spoke it, and he just kept repeating it like, waves of his love kept hitting me. It And if I always tell people, if you don't know what that's like, you're missing something. You need to push through. You need to get on your face. You just need to get, just stop what you're doing, bow down, and just say, God, touch me, or I'm not going to get up from here until you do, and start praising him. Start calling him beautiful, lovely, dear one, beloved. Oh, just tell him how jealous he is for you. Just tell him all the things you want him to be to you and that he is. And he will show
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
And one last question for you.
Okay.
I heard that you have a business, and God blessed you in your business. Can you please tell us something about that?
Okay. That is an amazing story. I had worked as an administrator for a man. I was the HR and different things. I'd been a housewife for 20-something plus years. But then, you know, some things that had occurred, there had been domestic violence. There had been a divorce. There had been, then he subsequently, almost immediately after the divorce, he died. And so I was like, God, what on earth do I do? I need to have income. I need to. So I had worked for a man, and he ended up hiring because the economy had drifted down a little bit, but we don't live in the world's economy. We're in God's economy. And so he hired my assistant for a dollar less an hour, and I was let go, and I was like, oh, my goodness. So I was on the couch crying before the Lord, and he told me to advertise cleaning. And I thought, well, that can't be your voice. I have all these administrative skills, and I began to put those on Craigslist and online, and no one was biting, no one. And I was probably – I only had like maybe 7 to 10 days worth of food left, and – at the end of the month, I was going to be homeless and on the street. And he said, did I not tell you to advertise cleaning and put your picture on it? And I said, what? So I obeyed. I'm crying and weeping, and I finally obeyed. And I got hit after hit after hit with some of the wealthiest people in this particular city. And so all I had at that point, though, to get to my first client, I remember I put I had – either $10 in my pocket and $14 in change in the bank, or vice versa. So I didn't even have a whole $25. I remember I put gas in the car to get there, and I took the other part of the money and bought some cleaning supplies, like mop, cleaning supplies, things you'd clean a home with. And I get to my client, and I said, oh, God in heaven, make this person pay me. If they don't pay me, I don't even have enough gas to get home. And that is how my business took off. And obviously, she paid me. I got to the bank. And, you know, God just began to prosper me after that. Like I said, he literally had the right people that he wanted me to influence and that could sow into me become my client.
Amen.
And so that's basically Deuteronomy 8:18. You know, that verse in the Old Testament, it says, that when we remember the Lord, you know, hello, he's the one. The NIV says he gives us the ability to produce wealth. And the New King James Version says he gives us the power to get wealth. And I just love that.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Now, Tiffany, as you saw God moving that, did that even move your faith even more when you saw him touch your business like that?
Yes, it did. I didn't realize until I had my own business doing this how little faith I had in certain areas. I could walk up to somebody, and I didn't have an issue saying, be healed of cancer. I command that thing to get off you in the name of Jesus. And I expected it to obey, and it did. But then when it came to, Lord, if you don't come through with this, I'm going to be homeless. But, he literally told me, he said, I'm going to let you fall to the floor, but just before you hit and go splat, I'm going to catch you. And I'm like, no, I don't like that. But what he did was he allowed me to begin to trust him. And every time, it was almost like an eagle, a baby, a bird, they kick the infants, the little eaglets out of the nest, and then they do that over and over again until they can fly on their own. And so he began to do that in various areas in my life where I didn't realize I literally had very little faith, such as him as my provider. I had always trusted in a husband to provide for me, a natural man. So I had to trust him to do that type of thing. I began to have to trust him to supply for food. And I had to quote that verse that says, "O God in heaven, you know, you have not, you know, the seed of the righteous is not begging for bread in the street." And so I just had to, you know, he used all of this to build my faith in many different areas that I had no clue were so diminished in faith at that time. It's a whole lot better now. Now I can look at people, you know, I couldn't minister to certain people in their certain life. If they had come to me and said, if this happens, you know, I could be homeless on the street, whereas now I can go, no, God's word says, and let me tell you what he did in my life. I think it's very important when God shows up in our life, we can use that as a testimony to show somebody. It's not just written in the word of God, but it's active in my own life. It's real.
Amen. Amen. Can you tell us a little bit about your online ministry that you have going?
Okay. I have a heart for people. And I can remember the first time God told me to get on the internet, I was going through a time. I'd had a child die. This was 7 years ago. Now, I didn't get on the internet, you know, Facebook Live or anything didn't come out then, obviously, but it was a few years after that, and I was still getting up and smiling, and people would go, "How on earth are you able to get up in the mornings? I don't know how you do it." And I would just have to push through, and God told me, he said, "There are so many people out there like that, Tiffany. They need a word, and I want you to get on there and do a short video and encourage some people today, and I want you to smile." And I said, "I don't feel like smiling." And he said, "But it's not about how you feel. You know that." So I made myself look pretty. I put on a smile. I got on there. I was very nervous. The phone was shaking. And I just began to encourage people. And there were so many desperate people that they just began to watch. It was the Lord. He just caused my voice to become greater and have a greater influence as I let him lead, as I let him tell me what to release to people, what to tell them, what to encourage them with. And I really feel like he's told me, you know, I am to help the hurting, the wounded, not just physically wounded, but people who are wounded in their minds, their will, their emotions, their souls, people who their hearts have been damaged by the enemy, by world and life circumstances and even other people, and to encourage them just to speak life and not death, that they've had so much death spoken over them. They've had so many hard people coming down on them, even religious leaders, people who don't have God's heart. He's like, "I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to intercede and love on the people and tell them it's going to be better." And he said, "I'm going to show up in their lives and it is going to be better." And they're going to, it's like he said, he lit me on fire. And I thought this was so amazing, Reverend Sand, what he said about the moth and that the moth will come to the flame. He had told me that. He said, "I've lit you on fire and the people are like moths. And they will come to you. And the ones who come to you are the ones that I have sent. Feed those ones." And that's what I've been doing. And it's just keep growing. So it's for all glory to him.
Amen. Jesus. And one thing that the Lord showed me about you, Tiffany, is that you have a tender heart towards people. It's like what he's showing me is that, you know, there are some ministers that, you know, people come to, they don't really, I even said this to Shane the other day, that, you know, they don't really have a compassion, but with you, I don't even think, you have compassion, but it's more tender than that, because I really believe now what I'm seeing now is just because you've been through so much, and it's seasoned you to have that more compassion and that tender heart towards people, because if you, I'm going to tell you this, this is one thing I saw over the years with people. People that's never experienced anything, they can't help people. that has been through hard times and troubled times. It's hard for them to do that because they can't really, you know, blend in and been there. It's like the Lord Jesus. The Lord went through hell and back for us, so he has something to connect with the hurting and the wounded and all the things that we go through because he's been there. He was up on that cross dying. He got beat on that stake for us. He went through all of that, so he's been through the wounding and all that stuff. So he's been there, done that. But there's some people out here that's not been there, but when God allows him to go through this troubled time, what it does, it actually forms them into the person that they need to be, where they can actually minister to others and have an open heart, because there's some people that don't have an open heart. You can find somebody that's lived on Easy Street all their life, and then when they go into a troubled person, they don't have a clue of what to do. But somebody that's been there, done that, they can open their arms and say, I understand, and then God can move mightily on that person. There's a lot of benefits, and there's some people, I really believe, that they get to a point where they're like, oh, I'm so wounded, and how can God use me? The thing is, he can use you more because you've been there. He can use you more because you've been there. And there's some people said, I've sinned so much in my life. You know, it might have been prostitution. It might have been drugs. It might have been that. How can God redo me? How can he renew me? And the thing is, he likes to make people over. He comes in and he flips the house. Have you saw these TV shows where these people come in, they flip the house? That's something what Shane does. He flips houses, old houses. He flips them, redoes them, and all that stuff. That's what Jesus does. He comes into a person that has problems. He turns their problems upside down and makes them a new person. He's awesome at that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that he does to people. So no matter where you are or where you've been, he could turn you into that new person that you know that you can be. That's what he specializes in. So if you've been in them problems, you've been in them situations, there's nothing too tough for the Lord. There's never nothing too tough for the Lord. Just trust him and let him guide you and lead you to all the areas that you need to be. But anyway, that's – Lord grabbed the microphone a little bit there. But anyway, that's just – you know, that's what I saw in you, Tiffany, where you've been through all these hard times and stuff, that God could really use you in your prophetic ministry and stuff because you have a real tender heart for people. And I think you're going to go far.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Shane, what do you feel about her? What have you noticed, Shane?
Well, as I was listening to your testimony, I could just feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your voice. And got tears in my eyes. And it really blessed me. So you're the real deal. I can tell. I can feel it in my spirit.
Woo. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Now, Tiffany, what is a word that you have for people right now that the Lord is moving on people?
Whew, okay. He began to show me, and it's like a two-year window thing, but one of the things many people are in what's called the great pause right now, where the wind of God's Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, has blown across their waters inside of themselves, their soul, their spirit, their life even. Everything in their lives, he's blown across the waters of their life, and the tide has gone out. If you're at the ocean and you're standing there looking at the waves of the ocean, imagine a wind coming up and blowing and pushing back all of the ocean to where you can't see it on the horizon anymore. And yet the waters piled up into a large wall and form a tsunami. And then many people have been in the pause where they're waiting, going, something terrible is coming. But it's not terrible for us. I do want to say that. Some people have misinterpreted the visions that they have seen. It's not a terror that's coming for us. only terror is coming for the evildoers. That's the demonic heads that have attacked people's lives. When that wave of tsunami comes in and crashes, because here it comes in the name of Jesus, it's coming and it's crashing on the shores. What it's doing is bringing very good and awesome things to us as believers. It's bringing that sevenfold what Satan stole. When the thief is found, he must repay seven times what he stole, and that's what's coming. In the name of Jesus. And also double for their trouble. It's restoring relationships that went wrong. It's breaking off relationships that should not be connected to them. That tsunami wave is blessing them with a great wealth transfer. There's going to be a wealth transfer in two different ways. One, the wealth of the wicked stored up for the righteous has been released. And it's upon us, and we're gathering it in right now. We're gathering the sheaves in, so to speak. We're gathering in the harvest in the name of Jesus. So it's wealth, it's soul, but it's also money, but it can also be business opportunities, ministry opportunities. It's divine appointments, a lot of divine appointments. It could be in the political realm, all across the board for people. It's really huge. And so, but it's also that wave when it hits God's people, it is going to be wiping out the demonic. It's going to be ushering in a greater measure of God's love on his people and bringing down what they thought were their enemies, to where we are truly going to be treading on in overjoyous joy, treading on the heads of our enemies like never before, like never before. And it's going to be wiping out a couple of different things in America, the demonic structures of Jezebel and religion. Religion is, I've already seen it. It's like when I see things, God shows me it done already. And so that's how I decree and declare it. He pulled the rug out from underneath the foot of religion and Jezebel. He came up to them and he yanked out the rug from underneath them. There have been times in the past where we had war and war and war and war. But I'm telling people now, although you may have warfare, now it's different. God is showing up miraculously and supernatural. And angels, there has been a release of legions and legions upon legions of angels who have been put at the disposal where we can send them out of gatekeepers and regional leaders, people God has called to reign and rule in his kingdom. We're able to disperse those angels wherever the Spirit of the living God tells us to send them. Put them on assignment.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, it's, you know, I really believe that, you know, the body of Christ that came under warfare for a while, and I really see that, you know, there's a breaking coming into it, and that's breaking away, and I think, you know, how we've been getting attacked, I think the... God's time is coming back, and he's starting to, you know, he's always been defending his people, but he's really going to push and show the enemy who's boss. And I really felt that too. And one thing that I felt that's going to happen this year is that, you know, we see how God has got into our government system, and he's removing evil out of our governmental system. And I really believe that we're going to see more of that. We're going to see a lot more of that, and it's not going to stop. So it's, you know, God's doing some mighty things. God's doing some mighty things in the world. It just looks real crazy right now. But, you know, any time that you shake the bag, you see stuff like that. I mean, when you shake the bag, you have things going everywhere. When it's kind of like termites. When you have termites in the wood and they're destroying everything, they're like hidden. But once you tear that wood apart, they flee everywhere. And that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing a lot of the demonic that's been in our country. It's like when it's been shook and they're coming out in the streets, they're doing everything. They're going against that. It shows you that they are against God, and they aren't for, you know, they ain't for unity. They ain't for love. They're for what they want, and that's it. And you see that, you know, on TV, you see that in the media, you see that everywhere now. So it ain't like it's hidden no more. You can see that and just like, hey, am I really for these people? What's going on here? You know, it's kind of up in your face. It's up in your face now, and you see that. And the other day I came on Facebook Live, and, you know, God revealed a lot of things to me when I was just watching these interviews of these people coming on and say, hey, you know, there's people hating on me. I've done nothing just because my race of people, you know, is doing this over here, but I've never done anything. And he said, the reason these people's doing this, look at my TV broadcast, and it shows wars and people killing people and all this, and these certain type of people fighting. He said, this is what they believe about us, but that's not who I am. So, I mean, it's multiple things like this, and what it was showing me is that the, you know, our television and our media is controlling people and leading people in their own ways. And I'm, you know, I was like telling people, you need to wake up, come to your senses, folks. You know, it's just not always what your TV is telling you. And
amen.
That TV could lead you in, that TV could lead you in a lot of wrong stuff. So it's, you know, you just got to let God guide you and let the Word guide you, and you'll be fine. And just, you know, sit back and watch, see what God's doing in your life and what is going on in your community. I mean, that's one of the biggest things. Don't worry about what's going on five seas over or whatever. Go worry about what's going on in your own community as well. And it's very important. But anyway, it's a great day in the Lord. Now, Tiffany, now where are you from? We never did ask you that.
I am, now I grew up in Georgia, northern Georgia, but I've been in South Carolina for probably 28 years now. I'm in the Greenville, South Carolina area.
Amen. Now, if somebody wants to get in touch with your ministry, how do they get in touch with your ministry?
Usually Facebook is really good, or the Messenger app. But I prefer, say, Facebook. I also have a website that's pinned to my Facebook. It's the Jesus Reigns blog.wordpress.com. It just tells a little bit more about my testimonies in different areas. I've also published some things on there. I address abuses a lot of times. So I've written some articles on religious abuse, personal, you know, like home abuse, spousal abuse, things like that.
Amen. That's very needed in the world this day. But yeah, that's awesome. I mean, people can get in touch with you on Facebook and just actually, you know, can just reach out. And I know how I found out about you. I've been watching some of your stuff off and on for a little while when I can. And the Lord just said, ask her. Maybe she'll come on. I was like, okay. So here we are. So it's, you know, God, it's weird because God kindly selects people who I ask, and sometimes that, you know, when I want these people to come on, he don't want them to come on, but there's some people that he does want to come on. He opens doors and brings them in. So it's kind of like the Healing Light Show has always been guided by God. It's never been guided by me, because every time I try to do something, it kind of blows up. But when God does something, the doors open. So it's like,
amen.
Child, you do what? You do what I say. You don't do what you say. So that's how that normally works. But, I mean, I'm telling you, folks, we've been doing this for 4 years. And everybody that we have interviewed, some of these people has just started out. God just started using them. And they've been some of the humblest people. And I've saw God do some tremendous things, you know, through our ministry. We had Art Thomas on our show when he first started out. And God has touched that guy and took him all over the world. I just saw God touch a lot of people, and I'm really feeling that we're going to try to get Dave and Tammy. I can't think of his wife's name right now. Dave Loggy and his wife. But anyway, we're going to try to bring him down here to North Carolina in this year. We're working on that, and we've had him and his wife on for a very long time. I mean, not for a very long time. We've had him on here off and on, and he always gives some awesome stories. When you're talking about being brought back to life, that's what reminded me, Tammy, when you was telling me about how you was brought back to life as a child and all that, and that was pretty awesome. But it's, you know, God's amazing, and bringing these amazing people on here is actually shows everybody that God is still working today. He didn't stop 2,000 years ago. He didn't go on retirement 2,000 years ago. He didn't go up to the heavens and then disappeared. He poured his spirit amongst earth, and he's still working today as he did back then, even with the disciples. So, you know, if God is not moving in your life, there's something that you're not doing or something that you have not opened to the Lord, or you have refused the Lord. There are some times that God comes into your life and you refuse the Lord, and you're holding, it's actually, he's not holding back. It's that you're holding back or you're putting up walls. And I'm really feeling this right now. I'm really feeling that somebody is holding up walls and God is not moving in. It's what I'm feeling right now. If somebody's listening to this broadcast, I don't care if it's, if they're replaying this from the replay that's going to be up on Facebook. There's somebody's holding up walls. They're not seeing God move because they got up a wall. It could be fear. It could be pain. It could be unbelief. But you got to break through that wall. You've got to open doors. You've got to allow God to do what he's good at and just remove that wall. And right now we command that wall right now to be broken open right now in Jesus' name and touch that person's heart right now. Now, Tiffany, what are you feeling that are you feeling anything with anybody who's listening right now?
I just feel someone's heart is breaking. And I just speak peace into that area. There's a grief or a grieving. And it's a relationship loss. But God has better. I just want to tell you right now that God has better. He has better. Grieve the process. There are times in our lives when we don't want to give up or let go of something that isn't any good for us. I know from personal experience through, you know, the domestic violence or whatever, that God has better for you. He has better. And it's on its way.
Amen. 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 Shane, do you feel anything about anybody needs any healing or a touch from God? What's going on, brother?
I just want to say, in Jesus' name, anybody with pain in their heart, pain in their body, be restored, be healed. In Jesus' name, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, Tiffany, it's been great having you on here today, and I just invite everybody to look up Tiffany Blackwell on Facebook, and if you have any questions, anything, just go to her and actually just ask her, and if, you know, if you want to know where her ministry is, just give her a message, and she'll get in touch with you, and maybe you can come and, you know, go to one of her services. It's going to be an awesome time in the Lord, and Tiffany, again, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been a real great show. And thank you for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you for the privilege.
And I'm sure this broadcast is going to touch a lot of people. And, you know, I really feel that your testimony is going to help folks, too, through all the stuff you've been through and how God has brought you through this. And I really believe it's going to touch a lot of people, Tiffany.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you all. And we will see you next time here on the Healing Light Show. And thank you again, Shane.
You're welcome, Stan. Thank you. Thank you, Tiffany.
You're welcome.
Okay.